tea? He said, today and tomorrow. Well, replied the applicant. The sheriff, again, was surprised over the answer, one that he never thought of himself. Now listen carefully. Who killed Abraham Lincoln? Asked the sheriff. The job seeker seemed a little surprised, then thought really hard for a minute, and finally admitted, I don't know. The sheriff replied, well, why don't you just go home and work on that for a while? The applicant left, wandered over to his friend's house, who waited to hear the results of the interview. He greeted them with a smile. The job is mine. The interview went well. First day on the job. I'm already working on a murder case. Life is what you make it. Our perspective is based on how we have received or interpreted the information. It may seem odd for those looking from the outside, but like our aspiring deputy, his responses and interpretation of the interview was his normal. Dr. King once said, there are two most dangerous things in the world are sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Interestingly, some of the things right now coming out of D.C., we can easily categorize them in either category. But for those of us on this Christian journey, the season of Lent should be our normal. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, with a sign of repentance, with placing of ashes mixed with oil on our forehead, and lasts until Saturday before Easter. The last week of Lent is called Holy Week, which includes both Maundy Thursday, which commemorates the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Good Friday, commemorating Jesus' crucifixion. Reminiscent of Jesus' fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, the Lenten season, not counting Sundays, lasts 40 days. Sundays are not included because the Lord's Day, according to church tradition, is never a fast day, but a feast day, a celebration of the resurrection. Therefore, during Lent, the Lord's days are listed as Sundays in Lent, not Sundays on Lent. So for the next several weeks, we will be traveling through this season of Lent with a new sermon series, Being a Follower of Jesus. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. And for us as Christians, it should be the beginning of what I like to call our Oprah moment. A time of deep inflection upon the passion and death of Jesus, as well as a period of repentance for both the church and for us personally. We should view Lent as a time of spiritual spring cleaning, our annual spiritual checkup, a time for taking spiritual inventory and then clearing out everything that hinders our relationship with God. This is a time to take stock of our lives and our hearts. Lent is our call to action, to reject sin in our life and embrace the good news of Jesus Christ. 16th century reformer Martin Luther taught the Christian life in its totality is a life of repentance, beginning when we first trust Christ and continuing throughout our lives. We should be turning away from sin, from self-centeredness, and turning more to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consequently, though, as we all know, Lent can be trivialized. The point of Lent is not to give up something like chocolate and cake and pies and all those things. Our doctors tell us that every 6 months. The main point of Lent is to remind us that it's in our best interest to give up sin completely. Right. Romans 6:23 tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Lord Jesus. It's good to hear people talk about they're celebrating Lent and observing Lent and having some reason to give up something for the season. But if we're not using this season as a period of spiritual renewal and growing closer to God, then what's the point? That's right. Why do an inventory if you're unwilling to make any changes? It's like watching somebody go through their closet, trying on the clothes they're going to give to Goodwill, only to put the clothes back on my side of the closet to say, I can still wear this. But I love her to death. So, but you know, but what's the point? They still look good. In his book of Outgrowing, The Ingrown Church, Jack Miller suggests that we should ask ourselves these five questions. Is God working in your life? Have you been repenting of your sin lately? Are you building your life on Christ's free justification, or are you insecure and guilt-ridden? Have you done anything because you love Jesus? And have you stopped doing anything because you love Jesus? The Lenten season is not just a period for us to reflect on the sins we have committed and an opportunity to kind of feel guilty for the next 40 days, but it's also a time for us to remember we are called to show compassion for the poor and those in need. This Christian journey is not something that we do alone, but we are to gather together as a family of faith to worship, sing, pray, and experience the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. If we never share with one another what our faith journey is as a family of faith, then we will not know how to pray for somebody when they need prayer. And we're not going to know how to say and rejoice and sing, shout hallelujah when they receive the blessings of God. After all, how can we expect others to want to come to know Jesus if we keep the good news to ourselves? 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge to know the truth. So as we look at the text today, Jesus, accompanied by his disciples, has been traveling throughout the villages, healing the sick, performing miracles, and proclaiming the good news to the large crowds. Jesus has given the disciples the power to drive out demons, heal the sick, and proclaim the kingdom of God. He fed the 5,000 and gave the disciples instructions on how they should respond if anybody rejects their teachings. You see, you can't follow Jesus if you can't follow instructions. And up to this point, Jesus was doing it all. But he knew the time was near when the disciples would have to continue the work that he had started. Jesus needed the disciples to see him for who he truly was. And in verse 18, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the crowds say I am?" And they responded by giving the answer, "John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets long ago." But then Jesus asked the disciples, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the God, the Messiah." Ding, ding, ding. The light bell goes off. Once Jesus knew that the disciples understood who he was, he commanded them not to tell others, because first he needed to make sure people were following him for the right reasons. And most importantly, he had a mission that he had to accomplish. He knew that he had to undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus could now clearly and specifically teach what they could expect, so they would not be surprised when it all happened. And Jesus tells them in verse 23, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So I got a confession I need to make today. I've got to call the person's name out for the first time, a member of this church who gives me the most problems. I'm going to tell you this church member, he's the biggest headache I can find. And I hate to call him out, but I love him. Quite frankly, I really like him. As a matter of fact, I can't live without him being around. He's one of the best people I know. I can't get away from him. And that person that gives me the most trouble is me. If truth be known, most of the problems we have today can be traced to the man or woman in the mirror. Do you know what keeps most Christians from getting up early in the morning and having quiet time with God? Self. Our intentions are good. The alarm clock goes off. And what happened? We don't want to get up. We don't feel like praying. We don't want to read the Bible. We just want to sleep just a little bit longer. We're not willing to die to self to spend time with God. And the first obstacle of following Jesus and becoming his disciple is not sin, it's ourself. Because the root of all sin is self. You have to have that desire to follow Jesus. It's a personal decision that mama, daddy, grandmama, granddaddy, or anybody can make for you. You have to make it for yourself. And that is the way the vast majority of the world is living today, especially in our church, because so many people, nothing matters to us or to you but you. If you're going to be a disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ, you must deny self. That means you're going to have to put Jesus before you. You're going to have to put Jesus above you. You're going to have to put Jesus ahead of you. You're going to have to put Jesus instead of you. And it must be all of Jesus and none of you. And it can't be and won't be Jesus Christ marked down 50%. Get him while you can. Well, I know that many people want to come to Jesus, but discipleship and following God can never be discounted. Jesus paid the full price to die for us, which means we must pay the full price to live for him. And when you think about all that Jesus has done for you, can do for you, and will do for you, and when you think about what Jesus has to offer you, abundant life on earth and eternal life on heaven, it's a deal of the lifetime. Because the only way to really live is to live fully for Christ. You have to come to that fork in the road in your life. You have to make that choice. Either you're going to follow Jesus or you're not. You're either going to go his way or you're going to go your way. If you say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be saved, then you don't want to go to heaven. If you say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I want to go through, but I don't want to go through Jesus, then you don't want to go to heaven. If you say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I want to go my way through heaven, then you really don't want to go to heaven. You see, just because a person says they want to go to heaven doesn't really mean they want to go to heaven. This is like the way it sounds. But if you really want to go, you can go. If you want to follow Jesus, you can follow Jesus, but you can only go and come to Jesus his way. Amen. To take up the cross of Jesus means to follow Jesus if necessary, to death if necessary. And being a follower of Jesus means not working in his shadows, but taking the same road of self-denial and self-sacrifice. Because he walks ahead. He provides the example and stands with his followers as our encourager, as our guide, as our friend, as our healer. But when we greedily take life as if we created this life on our own, when we refuse to help others and show compassion to our fellow man and focus on satisfying our own desires apart from God, we lose everything we're trying to keep. We lose the spiritual fulfillment Christ can give. Those who invest their life for Christ and his kingdom will receive eternal life and as well as the satisfaction of serving God on earth. Those who give up control to God find that he fills their lives. How can we ever experience the glory of God, his grace and mercy, if we don't know him? I know when I used to, back in my younger days, start smelling myself and talk about all these things I was going to do and all of that stuff. And my granddaddy would look at me and say, Calvin, what does it profit a man to gain the world but to lose his soul? I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, Daddy, I'm just going to do this. He said, all right, boy. Some of us don't take God seriously. We're playing with God by the way we live. Many of us are willing to turn away from God to hold on to worldly attitudes and behavior. Hold on to sin because it feels good. And at the same time, we're willing to risk our soul. In other words, we believe more in the deal that the devil is offering us than the promises and guarantee that God will give us. If only we believe. And if God didn't take the deal from the devil, what makes us think that he's going to give us a better deal? What's more important, our ego and impressing our friends or our relationship with God? Is it really worth risking your soul? Theologian C.H. Spurgeon says, "You will never glory in God till first of all, God has killed your glorying in yourself." And we should not be ashamed of our relationship with God. And as stated in verse 26, if we are ashamed of God, then he would be ashamed of us when it comes to glory. He's going to ask you, do I know you? When so much of the world has turned its back on God, we as Christians have to speak up for him without being ashamed. Believers must stand boldly for the Lord when the world stands for nothing. The new normal can't be immoral behavior or acceptance of alternative facts. Believers must always speak truth to the power and remain faithful to the teachings of the Lord. So today is our first step in an act of self-offering or denial. So I'm asking, everybody got this little white piece of paper. I'm asking each of us to think of something in your life that you want to give to God during this Lenten season. Whether it be a burden that you're carrying, whether it be a sin that is weighing down on you, whatever it is, write it on this slip of paper and bring it forward. And I'm going to stand right here and we're going to burn these things away, trusting that God will release and cleanse us of it. And if you can't come down, I'll come and bring you the tape. So let's take a moment and think about what is it in your life that you want God to take away so that you can be closer and live closer to him. So take a few seconds and write that down and then bring it down to the front, and then we're going to pray a prayer of self-offering. I know we got some. Everybody had an opportunity. Accept the full promise and challenge of your love. Amen. So whatever that was burdening us and weighing us down, it's all gone away. We just got to believe it's gone away and live our life fully and not letting that be a burden to any of us going forward. Amen.
Amen.
Let us all stand for our hymn of response, Come to Jesus. What an appropriate hymn for today.